It's not navel gazing. It's not making it all about you. It's not cutting God out of the equation. It's you are worth talking to, listening to, and hearing, period.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. I have some fun news. We've started a Lisa Show newsletter for our listeners. It has bonus content from your favorite episodes that you can only get in the newsletter. There are some tried and true recipes from our team, even a monthly drawing. You just click on the link in the show notes and sign up and watch for it in your email. We'll bring the party to you. And now it's time for Lisa's Existential Crisis Corner. Not really, but it is something that I've been thinking about lately. When I was a teenager, I based my value on having friends and being part of a group, right? Something that's probably developmentally appropriate for teenagers. But as I grew up and got married, my source of value changed. Now I had a husband who supported, encouraged, and validated me on the daily. And I didn't realize how much my self-worth was based on Christopher and our relationship until he was gone. Now I find myself in a really weird place. I'm less sure of my value because I don't have someone there constantly affirming it for me. And then there's the fact that people treat you differently when you're single. But we don't really have time to get into that right now. But all I'm saying is that negotiating where our worth comes from can be tricky, even outside of adolescence, and really in times of transition. And I know I'm not alone. Sometimes we equate our value with our careers, our looks, our kids, our talents. But as I've discovered with the loss of my husband, those centers of worth will inevitably change. Careers end. We all age. Kids move out. Talents can become rusty or obsolete, or heaven forbid you meet someone who's better at your thing than you are. Just when you buy into the idea that something makes you valuable, the terms of the contract will change. We find ourselves pouring more and more of our resources into things that simply cannot give us a return on our investment. It's no wonder that so many people walk around feeling a little bankrupt. But that's why I brought Allison Faulkner on the show today. I love Allison for many reasons, not the least of which is that she is a fellow lipstick lover and has a big voice like me. But I also love Allison because she is devoted to helping people love themselves and find confidence in just being them. And today, Allison is going to introduce you to the idea of awesome. It's awesome with a capital A, and it's really just another word for value or self-worth. Allison will explain why the concept of being awesome is hard for people to accept. She'll share some ideas that can help us find our awesome, and then she'll give us some tips for protecting it. Here's Allison.
I am Allison Faulkner. I host a podcast called Awesome with Allison. I have a book called You're Already Awesome, and all of those things are to remind people of their truth, which is that only you can be you, and you are already as awesome as you need to be. And we'll discuss what I mean by awesome, because if that word's not hitting for you, don't worry. We'll talk about it.
I don't know about you, but hearing you're already awesome seems a bit at odds with literally every other message I hear from social media, from advertising, and even the little voice inside my head. According to all these other sources, I'm not healthy enough, not young enough, not rich enough, not organized enough, not happy enough, not good enough, and certainly not awesome. And I'm not even sure I feel comfortable saying it myself. But here's why Allison thinks that we should all think we're awesome.
The reason I love the word awesome is because it actually is a very sacred word. The word awe is to give reverence, is to hold space, is to be able to look at with curiosity and just enthusiasm what is. Not just like awesome. That word resonates with me, but I always invite people, if that word doesn't resonate with you, drop it.
Don't get caught up on it.
Yeah, don't get caught up on the word because
it doesn't mean cool or important, self-important.
No, it just means you are worthy of awe, reverence. You are a sacred creation. And if I believe that for you, I must believe it for me.
That was beautiful. Okay, that was great.
I wrote a whole book about it, yeah, so it's okay.
I know.
We are worthy of awe and reverence and enthusiasm. And if we feel that way about others, then we should feel that way about ourselves. One of the reasons Allison is an ambassador for awesome is that she's one of the people that needed this idea the most. Here is some of her story.
One of those pivotal moments is my internship at Hallmark Cards. I did not know at the time that I was in a very abusive relationship. As most people who are in abusive relationships, you don't think you're in an abusive relationship. And I was writing a little book to gift people for Hallmark Cards. And I wrote this line, "Only you can be you." I get this feeling when I'm writing, when I know it's capital T truth. I get choked up. I feel almost goosebumpy. It's a very specific feeling that I've been able to start to recognize in my life when I'm really feeling truth. I felt it when I wrote that. And I ended up that summer getting out of that relationship. And I was in a really, really dark place. I was having anxiety attacks and I would have to hide under my desk. And I would just have panic attack after panic attack and hide and then come back and get right back to work. I didn't go to therapy. I didn't tell anyone. It was probably 8 years later. I had my Instagram and I had my blog and I was invited to speak at a women's conference and I was writing it and I had had a friend who does beautiful calligraphy write "Only You Can Be You." And I remember sitting there and thinking about that. And I had all these messages about being awesome and Allison and awesome go together very well, right? And then I had this feeling of, and you're already as awesome as you need to be. You're already there. Like, not only can only Lisa be Lisa, but everything that Lisa is in this moment is perfect. Every molecule of you that is yet to be is in you right now. That potential, it's like we think of the seed, the potentiality, as Deepak Chopra would say. And again, that message came to me, to my heart. I feel like it, I know it was inspired. Because it was an understanding that was beyond my own capacity at the time. And I think 7 years of doing a podcast where I said at the end of every episode, and I'm still doing that podcast, Awesome with Allison, only you can be you, and you're already as awesome as you need to be. I was teaching myself what I needed to truly believe. I don't need to prove anything. I don't need to earn anything.
It's taken Allison years to truly believe the message that she's awesome and is already valuable. And she's not alone. There are a lot of reasons that prevent us from feeling our worth or even recognizing that awesome is a possibility in the first place.
I was reading a book recently and it talks about how people have these inherent core beliefs. And one very common inherent belief is there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. Everybody else seems to have this figured out and there's something wrong with me. So some people might relate to that feeling and other people might not, but that is very much how I have felt my entire life. I don't quite fit in physically, sound-wise, personality-wise, you know? I was teaching myself, there's nothing wrong with you. You're good. You can heal. You can self-reflect. You can correct. You can receive feedback. All of those things are important. Like, I start coaching people and they're like, well, if I believe I'm good enough as I am, I'll never improve.
That's the fear. That's what holds people
back. 90% of people who hear me say, you're good, you're good, you're good right now. There's a part of them going, that's actually unacceptable to believe because that makes me a bad person, an egotistical person, an incorrect person to believe in my inherent value. I must be progressing. You can get religious, you can get philosophical, you can get capitalism in there, right? And it's like you earn, 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 and you prove. And here's the secret. I tried my whole life to beat myself up and shame myself into being quote unquote better. And that's not actually how it happens. How it happens is you accept yourself, you find peace and healing within yourself.
We all want to improve and become better people. But here's the catch. If we don't think we have worth until we change, then we've missed the point. The whole reason we can grow and change is because we have infinite potential and capability. That's the awesomeness Allison is talking about. So acknowledging our awesome is what needs to happen before we can improve, not after. This shift in perspective changes everything about how we see our place in the world and especially our mistakes. There's so much more hope for our journey when we set out to learn our value instead of setting out to earn our value. A fundamental step then to finding your awesome is an understanding where it originates, and that is found in your relationship with God.
One of my favorite songs that has saved, truly saved my life is Walk Tall, You're a Daughter, a Child of God. Be strong, please remember who you are. And I cry, obviously, because that is what I believe. And then there is relationship, and relationship specifically with your creator. And being a mom has helped me so much because as a creator of these children, it's easier for me to understand a loving, unconditional creator, right? Knowing my value is I am a daughter of God.
Just like we love our children with a fierce and unconditional love, God loves us fiercely and unconditionally. We are worthy of awe, not because of what we do or don't do, but because we are His. And while our relationships with God may sometimes be messy, they are instrumental in understanding our worth and potential outside of any other metric. Once we start to feel that confidence in knowing we are His, the next step to embracing our awesome is letting people see us as we really are. No masks necessary.
Whether it is going to school, whether it's going to the grocery store, whether it's teaching a lesson in church, most things that cause us that anxiety and confidence have to do with allowing others to see us.
Showing up. I do. I think
it's showing up.
It's showing up. And that idea of allowing people to see who you are, it sounds so trite.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
But it's like this fundamental truth, because I think what we underestimate is that a lot of us are quote unquote showing up, but with a mask, with a subtext, not really saying what we think, not really showing up fully and hiding behind that saying, oh, I'm not going to tell them what I really think. I'm not going to show up as I really am because either I won't be accepted or I'll have to push back against something or it will cause this reaction or I'll be shut down, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Rejection, being made fun of, whatever.
Sometimes you can find yourself maybe judging someone, like, why do they show up this way? Or I wish they could just have a real conversation with me. And I have to remind myself, I have two parents that when I threw a tantrum or I was very difficult to deal with, I wasn't physically harmed, love wasn't withheld. And there are people, many people, who have had that experience.
Right. It's so not safe to show
up. It's not safe to show up as you are, whether it's your skin color, whether it's your religion, whether it's who you voted for. All over the world, there is animosity and hate for the other. But just on a small level, I want to say to anybody who listens to this and then uses it as a reason to beat themselves up for not showing up, that's not the point. The point is maybe you start looking at, why is it scary for me to show up as I am? What lessons did I unconsciously pick up? What examples were shown to me that if you show up like this, this will happen?
We don't have to give 100% of ourselves to every situation. Not every interaction needs it. And quite frankly, not every interaction deserves it. But regardless of the season we're in, we should avoid making apologies for being who we are, whether that's outgoing or shy or vulnerable or strong. But asking ourselves why we are scared to show up as ourselves can be a great question to work through and heal some things that may need healing. One way Allison has been able to do this is through journaling.
You got to get your voice back. And the way that it worked for me to do that is journaling. I love the book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. It prompts you to write freely. This is a different type of journal than I was brought up doing. This is the type of journaling that, like, I have friends who know where these are so they can burn them should I die. Nobody gets to read these. Nobody gets to look at these.
They're not for public consumption.
No,
they're just to get stuff out of your brain.
There are holes in pages because I have scribbled so hard with that pen to get that anger out or to get that sadness out. And because I journaled that way, in this free flow way, I was able to start to listen to myself. So for somebody else, that might look like meditation. That might look like turning off the music and the podcast for a minute and giving yourself 10 minutes a day where you just, maybe you do the dishes in silence, right? If you can, you might have to hide in your car. I get that too, right?
Yeah. Adapt according to your circumstances.
Yes, but my message would be, you're worth hearing. You're worth listening to. And so if you are in that space, it's because there is a wounded, hurt version of you that is dying to be heard.
So listen to it.
Listen.
Finding our awesome is sometimes a matter of letting ourselves think and feel freely, whether that's with a journal, a friend, a quiet car ride, or a therapist. It can be scary to let things out and face them head on. But what's scarier is to let these things prevent us from showing up in life the way we'd like to. Discovering our real value is all about digging deep into our relationship with God, with our past, and with ourselves. But just like any other valuable resource, our self-worth needs to be protected. That's why Allison says we need to remember that we are more than what we do in life. This idea really resonated with Allison while she was at her grandmother's funeral.
I remember at my grandma's funeral, which was about 7 or 8 years ago, that all of our kids got up and said, she just did everything for me. And it was beautiful, but it kind of made me sad because nobody talked about her. And I'm so grateful that she was such a caring, nurturing, giving person. And in no way do I shame that. It just, for me, was this moment of, but she was so much more than what she did just for you.
Doing things for others is wonderful and memorable. But Allison's grandmother had value regardless of what she did for others in life. And we are awesome regardless of what we do in life. I know this idea is hard to sell because we're programmed from the time we get stickers on our first assignment in kindergarten to think our worth is based on performance. But the minute we put our value into anything other than who we are intrinsically, we lose sight of our awesome. Confidence comes in knowing that even if I were to wear my pajama pants to Walmart to grab store-bought snacks to the class party that I forgot about until this morning, totally hypothetical, of course, I am still awesome because awesomeness isn't about me. It's in me. It's who I already am. And no last-minute Hostess cupcake Hail Mary is going to change that. But here's the cool thing, and an ironic one. The moment we are able to admit that our value isn't contingent on anything or anyone else, we are actually able to do more for others. And no, that doesn't make us better, but it does help us to love others more fully.
There is clinical, scientific truth that you are unable to give to others what you do not have for yourself. So you are giving a very conditional love to them, even if you believe you are not, because you are giving a conditional love to yourself.
The value that you have, no matter what's going on, actually expands your capacity to show up for other people. It's just something very beautifully ironic about the whole thing.
It's a simple phenomenon. Recognizing your unconditional worth allows you to share more of yourself with others. When we hold back on who we are, we have less of us to give to the people we love. Another way Allison has been able to protect her sense of awesome is by putting her social anxiety in its proper place. She actually talks to it and it uses a little visualization exercise she calls the bubble.
Used to and very often have a lot of social anxiety. That social anxiety most likely comes from a place of experiences where you believe the expectations are one thing and then you didn't meet the expectations and somebody was cruel or hard about it in a way. So for social anxiety, I would also ask myself some questions. Questions are the most underrated tool of all time.
Why do we avoid them then?
Because we feel like we have to have the answers, or the answers are scary, or we're not ready to accept the answer. We're not ready to deal with the answer. And your body and mind are always trying to protect themselves. And so social anxiety is you trying to protect yourself. So you might ask yourself, okay, thank you for trying to protect me. Because first it's accepting the anxiety. Because what I did for years and years and years is go away, go away, go away. But also, anxiety served me because I got a lot done.
Right.
And I didn't need sleep. And I didn't need to stop moving because I could use that anxiety. And everybody around me gave me so many compliments because I got so much done.
You were so productive.
I was so productive.
So that means you have more value.
Yeah. Thank you for understanding. And so this is what I do when I really have a lot of anxiety and I'm feeling very raw and vulnerable, but I still need to show up. Because in life, we still got to show up, right? It's great to take time. And sometimes it's not a luxury. We need to eat. We literally need to put gas in the car and we got to show up. So in those situations, I put myself in a bubble. I visualize, I sit for just a moment before I go into the situation. And I remind myself that I am in this beautiful little bubble. I get to allow what goes out and I get to allow what comes in. I'm always able to put out whatever I want. It doesn't stop me, right? But I can still share that with you without receiving what you want to put on me.
You don't have to take it to heart.
Yes. And I think that's one of the reasons my capacity has increased. My ability to be with people, talk with people, and not feel worn down is I am not enmeshing or taking on their burden. And I literally had to have somebody say to me one time with so much love, "You are not Jesus." And I was like, but I'm supposed to be like Jesus. And she was like, "It is not for you to take on their emotion."
A way that I interpret that and how I show up in life is there are very few people whose opinion of me I will allow to enter into my heart. So there are a few people that if they say, hey, and give me some feedback or criticism or just an idea to think about, I will take it because I have come over time and experience to trust their opinion. But you can't do that with everyone. And with everyone else, I say in my mind, that's none of my business. Because my mind starts getting really curious, like, oh, do they like me? Oh, do they think that I'm smart? Oh, do they value what I'm saying? And I just think, oh, actually what they think is none of my business, really.
And Brené Brown has a great point about that where she says the number of people that you receive that feedback from should fit on a post-it note.
We don't need to take on people's reactions, people's emotions, or even people's advice. We are in charge of ourselves and we get to control what comes into our hearts and minds and what goes out. I remember watching The Wizard of Oz when I was young, and yes, kids, that was the OG Wicked, and being mesmerized by the bubble the Witch of the North would travel around in. She could still be seen, but she was safe. And I think that's the type of bubble Allison is talking about. It's really a protective mindset that reminds you that you don't have to share everything with everyone, nor do you have to accept everything from everyone, especially criticism and judgment. You're in control of your awesome, not your loved ones, not your followers on social media, and especially not your anxiety. In a world where we are constantly bombarded with the idea that our value is conditional, I'm so grateful for voices like Allison that remind us that we are worthy of awe and reverence, not because we make a certain income or reach a certain weight or have so many likes on social media, but because we are children of God who have infinite potential and unique identities. Unfortunately, not all of us really believe that we're already awesome. So we can start that journey to finding our value in exploring our relationship with God and in journaling to discover what holds us back from showing up as ourselves. Then we can protect our worth by refusing to buy into the idea that we are valuable because of what we do for others. And finally, we can decide what criticism we take in, which emotions we feel, and which people we trust. In the end, our value is not conditional. It's not about which friend group we're in. It's not about whether we're married or single. It's not even about what we do or even how we do it. Awesome is not about us. It's already in us, and it's been there all along. Now it's just up to us to see it.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Becca Hurley, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Gracie Davis. You can find out more about Allison on her website, theallisonshow.com, or on her Instagram, at theallisonshow. Links to her work and our newsletter will be in the show notes. Also, be sure to check out the new and improved Council of Moms wherever you listen. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
I would like to introduce you to another gem of a show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts, In Good Faith. Dive into an enriching world of spiritual exploration with Stephen Cap Perry. On each episode of In Good Faith, members of different religions and spiritualities are interviewed to better understand their relationship with the divine. Whether you wish to strengthen your own relationship or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion, In Good Faith is sure to uplift and enrich your life. Listen to In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.